Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowds said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. As we remain standing, let me pray for us. Lord God, would you teach us from your word this morning? Would you reveal your son to us? And would you give us joy in the promises you keep? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So I want to just start off by saying welcome to our kids who are staying with us for the whole service. We're so glad you're here, kindergartners through fifth graders. And thank you for helping to lead us in worship this morning. As Caleb said, this is going to be a shorter sermon than usual, so only about 45 minutes. I think he said that just to remind me, keep it short. I'm going to be speaking to you kids this morning, but also to the grown-ups as well. And I just want to start off with a question. Kids, do you know why we started off our service today by waving palm branches? And did you notice how cool mine was? I got like a special one. I don't know how that happened. Okay, kids, no, you didn't get them? Well, that was your problem. I mean, they're out there. Sorry, Grabars. You missed them. Kids, why were we waving palm branches? Can anybody shout it out? Braden? Wow, you are exactly right. You couldn't hear that, but Braden said, the reason we're waving palm branches today is because when Jesus came into Jerusalem, everyone started waving palm branches. It's exactly right. So a long time ago, in the city of Jerusalem, a big crowd of people did the exact same thing that we did just now because they were excited. They were excited, and waving palm branches was what they did when they got excited. Why were they excited? That's what I want to tell you about, because we're still excited about it today. Another question for you. Have you ever had to wait a really long time for someone to keep a promise? Maybe one Christmas, your parents promised to take you to Disney World, but you had to wait 6 months before you could go. Maybe your mom told you one day that you were going to have a baby brother, and you had to wait 9 months for him to arrive. Maybe your dad promised to take you out for ice cream after dinner, and dinner took forever. But have you ever had to wait 500 years for someone to keep a promise? I mean, can you imagine how long that would be? Well, that's how long the people of Jerusalem had to wait for their king to come. 500 years before Jesus, Jerusalem was a mess. The city had been conquered and reconquered and destroyed and then burned down for good measure. And the people who lived there were tired and they were sad. They were tired of being ruled over by other people's kings. They wanted their own king, and they were sad. They were sad because God was punishing them for their sins. And that's why Jerusalem was such a mess in the first place. They wanted a king. The people wanted a king, but you know what? They also needed a savior to rescue them from their sins. And so they cried out to God for a king and for a savior. And do you know what? God heard them. At that time, there was a prophet in Jerusalem, and his name was Zechariah. And God spoke to Zechariah and said, "Tell the people of Israel, I'm going to send a king to save them." Now, Thomas read this promise to us just a few moments ago. And here's exactly what Zechariah said to the people. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It was an incredible promise. They were going to have a king, but it was also kind of a weird promise. God was going to send a king to save them, and the king was going to ride on a donkey. A donkey. Donkeys are not exactly the most exciting four-legged creatures out there, are they? If you were a king and you were wanting to impress people, you would ride in on a big horse or maybe a camel with two humps. But the promise, it was actually even weirder than that. So Zechariah seems to talk about the king riding into Jerusalem on two donkeys, a grown-up donkey and a kid donkey. Now, of course, you can't ride on two donkeys at the same time because it would be extremely uncomfortable and almost impossible. But there seemed to be two donkeys in the promise. The donkeys were kind of weird. The king was super cool. And the people were excited. And so they started waiting. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. The people who heard the promise from Zechariah got old while they waited. And so they told their children and their grandchildren about the promise. And then those people got old and told their children and grandchildren about the promise. And on it went for more than 500 years. Well, then one day, God kept his promise. Did you notice the two donkeys in the story about Jesus that I read just a moment ago? So Jesus and his disciples, they had come to Jerusalem. They were on the outskirts of the city. They were coming to celebrate Passover, a great big festival, and the city was packed with people. But when Jesus and the disciples got to the outskirts of the city, instead of going in, they stopped and they waited. Matthew tells us this: when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." All right, did you catch that? There are two donkeys, right? It's a little strange. No one needs two donkeys. No one needs two donkeys unless you're the Savior King sent by God to keep a promise made more than 500 years before. Which is exactly who Jesus was and what Jesus was doing. You know what happened next? Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and some of the people remembered the promise that had been passed down from their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. And when they saw Jesus, they went a little crazy. They cut down palm branches and they began to wave them. They lay their cloaks down on the street to make it look like a royal carpet. And they started shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They knew that this had to be the Savior King God had promised all those years before. And you know what? They were right. They were right, but there was something in the prophecy that they hadn't understood. You remember how I said it's kind of weird for a king to ride a donkey? How a horse or a two-humped camel would be a lot more impressive? Well, there was a reason Jesus rode a donkey. It's because he was a humble king. And he was so humble, in fact, he refused to conquer the city. He could have called down a whole army of angels to help him, and the Roman army couldn't have stopped him. But that's not how humble kings take their throne. And besides, Jesus had a far more important enemy to conquer. He had come to Jerusalem not so that he could conquer the Romans. He had come to Jerusalem in order to conquer death. Death. Because that was the only way he could save his people from their sins. Well, later that week, just a few days after he had ridden into town on a donkey and everyone had cheered, just a few days after that, Jesus was arrested. And then he was beaten up. And finally, he was killed on a cross. The people could not understand what was happening. Had God really sent them a king just so he could be killed? Well, actually, that is exactly what God had done. Jesus, the Son of God, he became a human being just like you and me so that he could save not just the people of Jerusalem who had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, but so that he could save all of us from our sins by dying on the cross. That's what a humble king does. He dies for his people. But that's not the end of the story. 3 days after he was killed, Jesus stepped out of the tomb where he had been buried. He was alive. He conquered death, and he rose to live again. Now, can any of you kids tell me what that special day is called? Just shout it out. Easter. Easter, that is right. Easter. When Jesus rose on Easter day, he conquered death for good. He kept the promise God had made more than 500 years before when he told Zechariah to tell the people of Jerusalem that he was going to send a king to save them. Today is called Palm Sunday, the day that we remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem with those two donkeys and the people waved their palm branches. Later this week, we will celebrate Good Friday, the day Jesus died on the cross. And then just a few days later, we will celebrate Easter, the day he rose from the dead. This is a busy week for us who follow Jesus. Here's what I want you to remember, whether you're 5 years old or 85 years old. What I want you to remember as we celebrate all of these important days is this: God always keeps his promises. He never forgets. We might forget. We might lose hope. He doesn't. What has God promised us? Well, because Jesus died and rose, God has promised to save us from our sins and to give us life with him. Our job in response is to believe him, to trust him, and to wait patiently for the day when Jesus will come back to be our Savior King forever. That's our job this week, to wait for the king who keeps his promises. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you kept your promise to the people of Israel. It took a long time, but you kept it. And when you did, you conquered sin and death forever. You have promised us to save us from sin and death, and to come back and to reign over us as a king forever. Would you give us patience as we wait? And this week, would you give us joy in the gift of our salvation? We pray all this in your name, King Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to stand now. We're going to respond to the gospel message by singing the creed in this song called This I Believe.